for, what you are coming for, must be the word of God. Must be the word of God. When you miss the word, you also miss the anointing. When you miss the word, it's impossible for you to find yourself partaking of the grace of the word. I've realized this, that a lot of people, they expect God to be doing things in their lives, but they don't understand how God does his things. How God does his things. So it's very important for you not to miss the word of God. Whenever you are in the presence of God, thank you, Jesus. You must be conscious that the word of God, it precipitates the anointing. It is the word of God that brings the cloud of the anointing to be released over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Are we ready for the ministration?
Yes.
This is our year to manifest the spirit man. It's our year to manifest the spirit man. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to emphasize today on the weight. I want to emphasize on the weight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever you come to church, thank you, Jesus. I always ask myself each and every time when I come to church, because I have this understanding that each time when I am coming to church, I am coming into an atmosphere that is different from the atmosphere of my house. I always have that conviction that I expect the best that God can ever do to me each time when I bring myself in the atmosphere, in the church atmosphere. I'm just saying this to try to help you, because a lot of you are still far. You're still far. You don't take church atmosphere seriously. It's like a hobby to you. That's why it's easy for you to be doing funny things even in a church atmosphere, because you don't understand. You don't understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that when two or more of you gather in my name, I will be certainly amongst you. So there is something that happens whenever we gather like this. It's not for us to have a platform to mix and mingle only. Even as the word of God says that don't neglect to fellowship. But each time when we come to church, we are presented with the manifestation of his presence. We are presented an atmosphere to witness the manifestation of his presence.
Amen.
So I'm saying this because I want you to begin to check your life and check your commitment each and every time when you come to church. Check your commitment. How committed are you to the presence of God? Check your level of commitment. How devoted are you? Is it a time that you have devoted, or is just like the other times that you give to yourself? You need to be able to check that. Otherwise, church becomes church. It becomes like a social gathering that you just attend to. And then, no matter what is done, no matter what is said, you always find yourself missing out. Am I talking to someone here? You need to be sober each and every time you bring yourself to the house of God. You need to be very sober, because also that's an atmosphere above all atmospheres that the devil wants to contest against. Because if the devil wants to fight you, he won't fight you when you are listening to your music in your house, in your living room, or when you're watching your TV. But each and every time when the devil wants to fight you, he fights you in an environment that is capable of changing your life. And that atmosphere is the atmosphere of the Word of God. And I told the people here, a lot of people think that the Word of God is just there to motivate you, so you come out of church feeling motivated. But the Word of God, it goes beyond motivating you. It is life. Am I talking to people here? The Word of God, it is life. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want us to read verse 8 to 10. Verse 8 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. The Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Thank you, Jesus. It's important to look into this scripture and understand what it is trying to bring about in your life. Thank you, Jesus. The word is saying, what saith it? And the word of God goes and says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I wanted to say to that person close to you, the word. I want you to say it like you mean it. I want you to say to that person, the word.
The word.
It is near thee.
It is near thee.
Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say, it is in your mouth.
It is in your mouth.
I want you to repeat again to that person. I want you to say, it is in your mouth.
It is in your mouth.
And it is in your heart.
And it is in your heart.
Do you know? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Thank you, Jesus. In the beginning, the Word was with God. And again, the Word was God. Thank you, Jesus. But I like Romans chapter 10. Because it is no longer saying the Word was with God. But it is telling you that the Word is closer to you than you think. What I want you to understand is that everything that God created, He created it using the mechanism of the Word. So the Bible says, in the beginning the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Bible goes on and says that nothing was created outside of the mechanism of the Word of God.
Amen.
But Romans chapter 10, it is telling us that the Word is no more with God alone, but the Word is closer to you, and it is in your mouth. And not only in your mouth, but it is in your heart, which is the Word that we preach. The Word of what? The Word of faith, which we preach. So, Paul is talking about preaching. The preaching of the Word of God, like what we are doing right now. And he is calling that word the Word of what? Faith. He is calling it the Word of faith, that which we preach. And he's saying that that same word of faith, that which we preach, is no more in the mouth of the preacher, but it is in your mouth. And not only in your mouth, but it is in your heart.
Amen.
I don't want to confuse people here. Normally when God works, He works through His Word. The Bible that I read says that He has promoted His Word over His name. When you check how God rates the Word of God, He rates it higher than His own name. He has given the Word a higher place than His name. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, the Word of God also says that God is not a son of man that He should lie. When He speaks something, He makes sure that He performs what He speaks. When you want to understand how God works, it's important for you to understand the Word. Because God doesn't work outside of the scope of His Word. Thank you, Jesus. So, the Word in the beginning was with God. And the same Word was God. And using the same Word, then God fashioned all things that were created. But the same Word which was with God is the same Word which us, the preachers, preach to you.
Hallelujah.
So that it doesn't remain with God, but it becomes something that comes to you. You're missing something there already. The Word which was with God,
amen,
is the same word that the preachers preach. So for the preacher to preach, it means the preacher heard it from God. Amen with you. But when it comes to you and it is with you, it comes into your heart. But it's not only near to you because it's in your heart, but it must be near to you because it must be in your mouth. Amen. Can I open someone here? Thank you, Jesus. The word that God releases to the preacher, he releases it to you.
Amen.
So that the same creative mechanism of the word of God doesn't only end with the preacher, but it comes to the audience that the preacher is talking to. So when it comes to you and you understand it, then it must create room in your heart. And it must not only remain in your heart, but it must be also near to you in your mouth.
Hallelujah.
So we have got a lot of believers who come to church. They get the word preached to them, they receive it, and it comes into their hearts, and it's near to them because it is in their hearts, but they remain there. It is far when it comes to the mouth.
Yes.
Am I helping someone here?
Amen.
The word that is preached to you, it's near because it comes and has room in your heart. But that's not enough, because the word must be near to you. When we look at two things that it must occupy in your life, which is number one, your heart, number two, your mouth. And it's surprising how Paul brings the order. Paul begins to say the word, it is near to you in your mouth. Also in your heart. And he is emphasizing how important it must be to you to speak the word. I wanted to say to that person close to you, it's really important for you to speak the word. Thank you, Jesus. King David says that your word have I hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you.
Amen.
Baby Jesus, when the word is in you, baby Jesus, it must not only remain in your heart. Right now, when you check your life right now, and you try to understand how your life is growing, you may understand something about the absence of the word in your mouth. Because everything that you are speaking, you are creating. And not only people here. Because in the beginning, the word was with God. The word was God. I want you to understand something. When you hear the word wait, there is no separation, no distinction between that word and the title God.
Alright.
Can I help you, somebody? Thank you, Jesus. There is no distinction, no separation. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. In the beginning. So, each time when you want to understand where your life is going, you must understand the mechanism of the word. Because the word is God. We don't understand.
Right.
Am I helping someone here?
Amen.
Because the word is God. So when you speak to create. Each and every time when you speak, you speak to create. So you must be conscious of every word that is coming out of your mouth. Because Paul is saying that the word is near your mouth.
Hallelujah.
And it is also near your heart. And he's saying it is the word of faith which we preach. But not everyone operates according to the word of faith which we preach.
Right.
If you don't operate according to the word of faith which we preach, it doesn't mean that when you speak, the word no longer remains God. Am I helping someone here? If you don't operate according to the mechanism of the word of faith, which we preach, it doesn't mean that when you speak and there is no faith in your speech, it doesn't mean that the word that you speak is no more God.
Right.
Am I helping someone here? I'm trying to be as slow as possible so that everyone can understand. So, when you understand this, you understand that you speak to create. I want you to turn to that person close to you and I want you to say to them, you speak to create. I want you to say it like you mean it. I want you to tell them, you speak to create.
You speak to create.
The Bible that I read says, there is power of life and death under the tongue. And those who love it will enjoy the fruit thereof. The Bible doesn't say only power of life, but it says power of life and death. So if you love it, you will enjoy the fruit of it. And what is it that you, if you love it? Thank you, Jesus. If you love it, then you will eat the fruit thereof. What the Bible is talking about there is the power of the word. So if you love it, if you love to speak, you eat the fruit thereof. But the Bible is not saying if you love to speak only good things, you will enjoy good things. The Bible says there is power of life and death, and they who love it will eat the fruit of it. So if you love to speak negatively, you will eat the fruit of the word, which is the negative manifestation of your spoken word.
All right.
And if you love life and you speak life, then you will also eat of the fruit of life. Am I helping somebody here? Am I helping someone here? I want you to say to that person close to you,
The words you speak.
They are God's. They create. So, the problem that we have now is having people who come to church. They sit down, the preacher preaches, but the word probably when it comes is far away from the mouth, and then it stays only in the heart.
Hallelujah.
Yet it is the word of what? Of faith, which Paul is saying we preach. And then when you are alone in your own time, you are no longer speaking the word of faith which Paul preaches. You are beginning to speak another message that has been preached to you by the devil. That becomes the mainstay of your life. Am I talking to people? And then you get to be surprised when things are taking a negative trajectory in your life. Yet you are speaking. And you speak into manifestation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to teach you a principle. A very, very important principle. That is called the principle of attraction. The more you speak about something, is the more you bring that thing closer to your manifestation. Is the more you bring that thing closer to your manifestation. Because your words, they are God's. And the Bible that I read says that at the end of things, every idle word is going to be judged. So, in the spirit, there is no thing such as an idle word. Because some of you, you believe that much of the things that you are speaking, it's not going to have impact in your life. You think when you are complaining about something, it's just complaining and then it ends in complaining. But each and every time when you complain, the thing that you are complaining about is spiritual. It has an ability to listen to you, and the more you complain, is the more you are not bringing that thing into your zone of attraction.
Yes.
So the more the thing goes away from you, because your word creates. Thank you, Jesus. James, he likens the mouth to a rudder that controls a ship. We are talking of a ship, a big ship that is in the ocean. And he says that the mouth, it is like that small thing, as big as a ship can be. It is controlled by a small thing that is called a rudder. Very small. That is the thing that causes that ship to turn. That is the thing that causes that ship to take a certain direction. And James, he says that your mouth, it is like a small fire. That if you set it on a forest, in the next morning, there'll be no forest. And I'll be someone here. Thank you, Jesus. So, you better become so careful about your mouth. If there can be something that you need to be careful about, it is your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say to that person, watch your mouth.
Watch. Watch.
Thank you, Jesus. We can teach you like this. From the moment we release you right now, you go back to your old ways. They say old habits, they die hard. You go back to your old ways right now. We release you from church right now. You arrive in your house, there is no bread. If we were to put a microphone in your house, we hear the confession. So negative. And after you complain, tomorrow again, when you wake up in the same house, there will still not be bread. Am I helping someone here?
Hallelujah.
Each and every time you speak, you are releasing a godly character into the atmosphere. Why is it that the world right now, we are struggling to win the world to the church? I want to show you something. It's because the church is speaking like the world. Why is it right now, even if we pray for a revival and people come to church, why is it that even after only 1 month we begin to lose the same souls that we won? It's because the church is still having people who are speaking like the world. That's why most of you, when you speak, you finish each other. You finish each other through your mouth.
Amen.
And one time, Paul, when he talks about gossiping people, he says, don't finish each other. And I'll be someone here. The problem that we are having is that church right now is that we are having a church which is speaking exactly like the world. When you listen to a believer speaking, and you listen to an unbeliever speaking, there is no faith in the speech. It's just the same. But you are coming to, it's like a lecture that you are in right now. Each and every time when you come, the church is like an university. You are attending lectures, and the moment you go home, we graduate you. But when you arrive home, you don't act like a graduate. You still continue to behave like a great servant if you are coming from a university. Am I helping someone here? I want you to say the power of the mouth to that person close to you. So if you don't understand the power of the mouth, thank you, Jesus. What else do you think has been created without someone speaking? What else? Can I help you someone here? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9 is interesting because it goes on and it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to understand something here. A lot of people, they think that salvation is a once-off thing, yet salvation is a continuous thing. Many people think that when they confessed Jesus into their hearts, that was the end of salvation. But this scripture is not saying you confess Jesus with your mouth only once. Don't get it. Thank you, Jesus. If you have an area in your life right now that you have a problem with, then that area is not saved. Imagine if you are not getting this. If you have got an area that is running amok right now in your life, that area is not born again. It means that the devil is still in charge over that area.
Amen.
So you can be born again, but you've got areas remaining unborn again. Because you, when you're going to be born again, in your heart, the focus was to save my spirit from eternal condemnation so that I can also get eternal life. And that was it. And then you didn't allow the same to also materialize in other aspects of your life. That's why you can be born again as a Christian and still have a great, great deal of problems with other things. And then when you check, you find that those things that are in your life, they are not born again. People don't understand me. And I tell you people here, how many of you have got problems with money? You can just wave your hands. If all of you have got problems with if people they want to pretend when they come to church, they like all is well.
So.
You have got a problem with money because your money is not born again. It's not born again. That's why even to give it to God, it refuses. How can you give money that is not born again to God? And your money is a heathen, it's an unbeliever. Okay, am I talking to you?
What?
It refuses and tells you, no, I will not go there. You can go to church all the way you want, and then your money remains warm and born again. I'm trying to help you. It remains unborn again. And yet you are born again. And there will be someone here.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So you can have many areas. I just gave you only one area that I hope you to see. Money can refuse to go to church. It can be there in the house, but it can refuse to come to church. Because it's not born again. Even if Brother Tino says we need partners for hands and other things. Your man will tell you, I'm not me, I will not put me. Not again. Not me. Am I talking to people here? Thank you, Jesus. Because salvation, it's something that is touching many aspects of life. I just gave you an example of your money vice versa church. But the same money, even in your family, is still unborn again. Still unborn again. That's why your money cannot work for anything in the family. It cannot. Because it's still unborn again. Until you hand it over also to Christ to be born again. And again.
Amen.
Why am I saying that your money is not born again? Your money doesn't save. It doesn't save not only church, but even if there is a mega problem, the house can be on fire there. But your money will never save. I'm trying to open up your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. That way, that area will always be a problem child to you. You always have problems in that area. Because you are a born again, and then you have got a certain area in your life which is not born again. Thank you, Jesus. Am I talking to people here?
Hallelujah.
Am I making sense?
Hallelujah.
You can hear that. People on the roof caught fire. You have the money that is enough yourself, but it will never save. It will refuse to tell me I cannot go there to save. You understand what I'm talking about? Saving. To save. It will tell you I will never go there. And yet, even when it still remains with you, you still be captivated in that area. You remain a slave in that area. Many times I've been preaching this area, and it's up to you to believe it or not. Those who believe it, most of them, they are seeing results in the same area. There are people in. Thank you, Jesus. They aspects of their lives which are not saved. The devil still remains in control over those aspects. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? And how can we know that you are not saved in that area? He says, for with their heart, men believe unto righteousness. With your heart, you believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So be heart when you believe. When you believe with your heart brings you closer to righteousness. But when you confess with your mouth, your mouth brings you unto salvation. When you believe with your heart, you attain righteousness. But it's not enough. You must then confess with your mouth to attain salvation.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm trying to talk about here?
Yes.
And I'm saying salvation is broad. Every area that you don't believe, you remain unrighteous in that area. And what is it that you are supposed to believe? You believe in the Lord Jesus, what the Lord says about that area. And when you believe in that area, you attain a certain level of righteousness in that area. And it's not enough when you believe, you then confess, add to salvation. Now when you are confessing unto salvation, it means you are saving that area that you believed in. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You believe unto righteousness. So what is it that you don't believe? That thing, as long as it is based on the Lord and you don't believe in it, you remain on the other side of righteousness. It means you are unrighteous in that area. And now we teach it of God. And tell you what? You confess unto salvation. You know, the Bible is not talking only about, because what you need to understand, the Bible is talking about resurrection. It's talking about resurrection. You believe in Christ Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then thou shalt be saved. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible in this instance is talking about something dying, something resurrecting. In this instance, it's talking about the Lord. You believe in the Lord. You must believe that he died and also that he was resurrected. Otherwise, if you don't believe that he died and was resurrected, you miss on the resurrection. Are you together, Jesus of God? You miss on the what? On the resurrection. And then the Bible goes on and says, for you believe unto righteousness. So what you believe, what you believe, it brings you into a state of righteousness. And what you don't believe, also it closes that door of righteousness for you. I feel like I'm talking to myself now. Am I talking to someone here? But when you believe, it's not enough, because you must confess unto salvation. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, what is your confession? What is your confession? Do you understand when I'm saying what is your confession? I'm not saying confess as in the confession of sins. Because that's why a lot of you have got this confusion, because you believe confession must only be in the area where you are declaring your sins. But you don't confess only that area, but you confess what you believe. And what you believe is what becomes your righteousness. And what you confess becomes your salvation. I'm talking to myself. Can I tell you to be for you? We have been taught to confess sins. But you know what? I fornicated. I stole. I did evil. I was jealous. That's what we've been taught. And it's not enough, even though it is helpful, because when you confess those sins, you are accorded also a clean slate, and you attain a level of righteousness in that area, in submission in that area. But it's broader than that. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to ask someone close to you, do you understand what you believe? How many of us here understand that they are poor? How many of you understand that they are poor here? Now no one wants to lift up their hands. Okay. Let me rephrase it. How many of you here believe that they are poor? I mean, if you don't raise your hands, I know many of you. And that becomes your righteousness, your unrighteousness, your belief. Do you know what I'm trying to put across here?
Yeah.
If you believe that you are poor, it becomes your righteousness, but it's unrighteous. Do you know what I'm trying to put across here?
Yeah.
It becomes your unrighteousness. And because most of you, you don't only believe that you're poor, you go on and confess your poverty. Then your poverty becomes your salvation. Can I help you, someone here? Can I help you, someone here? Because you believed it, it becomes your righteousness, which is an unrighteous. It's unrighteousness to believe you're poor. And because you believe it, you go on and you tell people, I don't have money for that and that. I am limited, I cannot accomplish this and that. And you're confessing, and your confession becomes your submission. And you are saved in that poverty. Like that. I am trying to say it like it is. You see people talking about poverty like it's a nice thing. You see people talking about weaknesses like it's a nice thing. And because you believe, you may be facing a challenge, but don't believe in that challenge. Because if you believe in that, that becomes an unrighteous articulation that is imputed upon your life. And then to make things worse, you go on and you confess. If you believe that people don't like you, it doesn't matter, you can get it on a pass, and then that pass is full of strangers. You feel like they don't like you in that pass. Because you believe that people don't like me. When they look at you, you feel like they are scrutinizing your dressing. You feel like they don't like something about your eyes, something about your height, something about your completion, and you feel out of place, and that's your unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And you prophesy over it through your mouth by confession. How many of you have seen some people who are always expecting negativity from people? When they come, they are always anticipating an attack. They are always anticipating something negative. Because deep down they believe. And they are righteous. That's why people who think that they are hated, they are righteous, they feel like themselves, they are clean.
Yes.
But themselves, they are unclean, they are unrighteous. Because they are believing the negativity. Am I helping someone here?
Yes.
And to make matters worse, you confess. Confess. At the end of the day, everyone doesn't like you. Everyone. No matter where you go, even if you go on a bus, walking, maybe your seat is at the back seat. And you're walking, you see people's eyes looking at you, you feel like people like you. Feel it. You feel it. There's something wrong with these people. When they are looking at me, there's something wrong. Mara, the problem is you. There is something that you believe. And when we listen to you talking, we know exactly what you believe. Thank you, Jesus. And everything that you are speaking, it manifests to save. It becomes what saves you. Thank you, Jesus. So what are you speaking? What are you speaking? If you believe and negativity in your marriage, we also hear you speaking about your husband everywhere. About your wife everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Because you believe. It's in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. It must come out of your heart first. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping somebody?
Amen. Amen.
And because you speak about it, you speak about it, you then you create now a monster of your husband, a monster of your wife. Through your mouth. Create. Create. It's easy like that. Am I speaking to people here? Very easy. It needs you to change your belief. Remember, you are a spirit man.
Hallelujah.
While you speak is spiritual, your words are God's. When you speak something, the word that you're speaking is jumping out of your mouth to go and create. But the problem is, we can teach you as much as we can. As Paul is saying, the word is near you, even in your mouth. It's up to you now to make that word closer to you in your mouth. There must be a difference between you and the other people. Probably who don't come to Royal Kingdom members, there must be a big difference. Can I help you, somebody here? When they hear you speaking, they must hear life coming to them. You know, there are certain environments myself, I have tried the best I can to take away myself from those kind of environments.
Yes.
There are certain people, even if you're around them and then they speak, Thank you, Jesus. Can I open someone in? Do you know? The Bible says that if you don't have an upright mouth, it is a breach in the spirit. You don't get this. It is a breach in the spirit. Your mouth is like a big crack in your spirit if it is not upright.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping someone here? Someone is saying, ah, this man. I'm trying to help you. Someone say, ah, this man is hard on us. I'm trying to help you the best I can. You believe in it. And when you believe in it, you speak it out. And each and everything that you are speaking, it's coming to save. But your salvation can be something that you don't like to see. Even yourself, you don't like to see it. Because you are always confessing that. Am I helping somebody? Am I helping somebody? If you can change these things, if you can change this thing this year,
yes,
you're going to see the results in your life. What is it that you think can just come to manifestation and then you can speak it out? What is it? Look at your marriage. It's a product of words. In everything around your marriage right now, it's because someone spoke to you. If you're the wife, if you're the husband, you spoke. You're not getting me. So everything that you are creating in that marriage is a byproduct of words. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? But when you are speaking a negativity, you don't feel that you're creating anything.
Yeah.
Because that's the area that we need to correct this issue. It's an area that we need to correct. Do you know? The more you speak about your problem, it's not the more that that problem is going away, but it's the more that you become conscious of the problem.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The more you speak of a solution, is the more you are bringing. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping somebody? A lot of people, they don't understand something. People think that words are just words. They just think words are just words. It's because people, they don't understand who they are as people. As a person, even if we can see you right now, there is a spirit right now, the spirit you. The spirit you. And the spirit you is the same that has the same likeness with God. Remember in the beginning when God said, let us create men after our likeness, in our image. So the image there and the likeness is not in your body. No. Because your body is not, it will never look like God exactly.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And I hope someone here. Your God doesn't have that kind of a body. It will never look like God. Am I speaking to people here? That's why when you look at people right now, you can see different types of people, light in complexion, dark in complexion, tall, short. Somebody can never be exactly like God. Do you understand what I'm putting across here? What is in the image of God? What is in the likeness of God? It is the spirit in you. The spirit in you. So, even if you're not conscious of the spirit in you, when you are speaking, it's not your body speaking, it's your spirit speaking things. Is the God part of you speaking things? And it's a creator. That one is a serious creator. That's why when you believe you're thinking, that's why you must make it a policy to always meditate upon the word of God. When you look at Joshua, Joshua stood, meditate upon this word, day and night, and observe to do what is written day. And when you do that, then you are going to find yourself having good success and making your ways prosperous. And what is that part of you that meditates? It's not your body, it's your spirit. You are conscious that you need to eat food. It's good. But you are not conscious that your body needs to absorb the word. Because you think it's not of no effect. Yet you forget that your body is simply a housing. Housing your spirit. And your spirit needs to feed on the word. And when you meditate upon that word day and night, and when you speak, and when you begin to observe, to do. Thank you, Jesus. Then you become prosperous. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? I'm trying the best I can to show you the mysteries of life. So, let's say you want to accomplish something. You have meditated. This means it's your spirit that has been absorbing that information. You need now a way out so that the things that are within can come outside. And the way out is to speak. You are speaking as a way of forcing your body to be in sync with what is happening from the spiritual perspective of your life. Thank you, Jesus. So it means if you need money, you must believe, and then you must teach your mouth to speak. But you can always attract things that you have deep within you, that you like deep within you. So when you have it in you and you speak it out, you're bringing it closer to you. You're bringing it closer to you. And I'll be someone here. How many of you believe in limitations? All of you believe in limitations. And because you believe in that limitation, you're limited. In that area that you believe, you're limited. Because that's your righteousness. Am I speaking to people here? Am I teaching good? Or I'm bothering you right now. Thank you so much. So if you have a limitation, if you have a line of limitation, there was a time somewhere else, we're doing something as a group, and then other people, they started to say, this thing can never be accomplished. It's out of our reach. So I realized something about groups again. Normally, if you are someone who loves to mingle in a group setup, you may end up having a group mentality. That's why even your children right now, some of their behaviors, it's not because they are like that. But some of those behaviors is because when they come into a certain group, they absorb a certain mentality.
Yes.
And then you find your child beginning to behave like a rascal. They can tell you to at school that your child did this thing and you as a parent, you refuse. Because you know that this kind of a character is not in my child.
Yes.
But what you don't understand is that your child, when he is with you, is in a certain group.
Yeah.
What are you? And when he is outside of your reach in another group, he absorbs a mentality of another group.
Yes.
And he manifests according to that mentality. So, you better watch. You are saying I'm not a child. You are also a grown-up child. You're a child, but a grown-up. Am I going to be free? Am I open someone here?
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm no longer a child. I cannot be pushed about. Normally, if people want to see your conversation, and then they can know your friend. It's easy. To tell sometimes where your life is coming from and where it's going by observing your friends. Remember the Bible said that bad what? Company corrupts good habits. Normally, if you want to see how bad a person is, check the friends. Not the friends. You know the person. Because how can you fly with those kind of birds if they are not of the same feathers? How? Am I speaking to people here? And I realized something that is some people, because you love certain groupings of people, then you absorb a certain manner, a certain way of believing.
Yes.
You begin to believe what they believe.
Uh-huh.
And you begin to confess what they confess.
Uh-huh.
So when they say this thing you cannot do it, you go into your house and you say also this thing I cannot do it.
Yeah.
Am I helping someone here? Am I trying to help you? So normally if you want to go high, check the people you're flying together with. How high can they fly? Am I talking to people here? If they cannot fly high, I'm telling you, we can also see you and we'll know that you also cannot fly high. Eagles, they don't fly with their black chest, those small birds there. They don't. Eagles, they fly in their own leaf. They may feel like, thank you, Jesus. And normally, eagles, when you look at them flying, sometimes you see one of each and you feel that the eagle is lonely. I'm trying to help you. But it flies high because it's alone like that. So sometimes you looking for a lot of people to fly together with limits your height. Do Do you understand what I'm talking about here?
Yes, sir.
Normally, if you want to see where you're going, we check your your profile. We check your profile. People around you. All these ladies in the house, they know what I'm talking about. For some of them, they bought that fridge because they saw another woman buying the same fridge. So if you are playing with someone who is not buying something big, you don't buy anything. You are comfortable also. You have a mentality. Any officer, my dear. Any officer, my dear. The truth is always painful. Most of the ladies in the house, check them. If the others are buying water glasses, recently I was attacking that mindset of buying water glasses. It's because you are playing with people with a vision to buy water glasses the whole year. It's like a good club. But then they set a level for you to fly, because that's what they believe. They believe that from January to December, the vision is to buy water glasses, and you are part of that group. And by the end of the year, we come to your kitchen, we only find glasses there. That's it. That's it. That's it. Because also we look at your friends. That's what they are buying. That's what they are accomplishing. If you play with people who are buying stands, building stands, we will see you buying and building stands. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping someone here? So, the higher you can go can be because of the people you are part of, who are also part of you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something about people. People are spirits. You don't understand people. People are spirits. You can't play with someone and then there is no impartation. Because spirits, they impart. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You cannot play with someone with a bad character and remain upright. You play with a gossiper, you are also a gossiper. You play with a thief, you learn the trend. You always get an impartation from people around you. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? Ladies and gentlemen, people are spirits.
Fire.
That's why if you play too much with someone who's stammer, who just gives you 2 weeks. Yeah, you say, ra. Before you can speak something. Thank you, Jesus. An impartation has come to you. We're not born like that, but we're imparted.
Yeah.
That's why some of us, there are times when some of us, we retreat. We act like we are not in Paris. But we'll be in Paris. Because there are certain kinds of people that will be coming out of. It's good for them to speak about me, but I will never be part of them. Let them speak. The reason why they are speaking is because you are different. You're not part of them. Can I help you, someone here? I better be an ego than a black chest. Nice speaking to somebody. An ego sees far and wide and high. But a black chest is limited to the roofs of the nation. Cannot see far. Am I speaking to people? Am I helping someone here? I've been telling someone the other time, I told that person, you know what, myself as a minister, I am not watching exactly what the other ministers in Paris are doing. Because if the day I do that is the day I accept their limitations. Because there are still things that they don't believe in. So myself, I realized that they don't believe in these things, and then I came out. Because I always want to be part of people who believe great things.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Be part of people who believe in greatness. If you say to someone, I want to build a house, and then they tell you, it cannot. It's a sign that you must come away from that person. No matter how good they are, remove yourself. In that place you are. You are protecting your righteousness in that place.
Amen.
If they cannot believe that you have the ability to build a house, your own house, yet other people are doing it. If they cannot believe, they are not worthy of your company. Take yourself out of them. Before they contaminate your righteousness, it becomes unrighteousness. And when it happens that way, we will hear from your confession that you are contaminated. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? You don't understand that people can influence people. Thank you, Jesus. Read the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 41. The Bible says that Mary, she went to visit Elizabeth.
Yes.
And Mary, she was carrying the Lord Jesus in her womb. The day she arrived in the house of Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth started to jump.
Yes.
And Elizabeth got to be saturated with the Holy Spirit by the presence of Mary in the house.
Amen.
Because she was carrying the Messiah that day she arrived in the house of Elizabeth. Shown in the womb. Didn't have an option but to be baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You understand something there? Am I speaking to people here? There is always something inside other people.
Yes.
That has got the capacity to jump into your spirit. And contaminate you. Or it can influence you to the better heights. Depending on who you are.
Yes.
Because impartation is like something always moves from a region of higher concentration to a region of lower concentration. Through a broken heart.
Yes.
You're not getting me. Am I speaking to people here?
Amen.
So when you fellowship with people, there is something that jumps out of their spirit into your spirit. So where you want to go, you cannot tell me that you want to drive a car and then you know, you don't, you hate people who have got them. You cannot tell me that you want to build a house, but you hate landlords. Am I speaking to be free? There are certain spiritual things that has got the ability to jump out of one person to the other. What is it that you have in you? Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? What is it that you are carrying inside you? Thank you, Jesus. We must begin to see the righteousness that is within you that you believe. And we must begin to see it coming from your confessions. Thank you, Jesus. Do you carry the presence of God in you? If you carry the presence of God in you, it must jump even into your customers. When they see you, they must see God.
Yes.
It must jump from every aspect of your life and influence your environment.
Yes.
But this is the season to change our confessions. What is that area that you feel like you are captivated in it? You must understand the power of the word. You must understand the power of the word, which is the word of faith. You need to begin to change how you speak. When the Bible says that, let the sick say, I am healed, that must become your confession. When the Bible says, the poor, let them say, I am rich, that must become your confession. What you don't understand about the word of God is that it will never be changed. The word of God is set, it is set, and it will never change. It's always up to you.
Yes.
Psalms 119, verse 89. It says, thy word, O Lord, it is set in heaven. The word, it is set, it is established in heaven. What I try to do right now is to make you to be established in the same world that is set in heaven. When you set your life, thank you, Jesus, and you go according to what is set in heaven, you give your life no option but to change. Because the word of God, it is set in heaven, according to the book of Psalms.
Yes.
So, everything that is written in the word of God, if the word of God says, you are strong, the weak say, I am strong, it is set in heaven. The problem that we're having right now, it's not heaven, it's earth.
Hallelujah.
Because that which is set in heaven, earth is not believing. Earth is not confessing. Do you understand? I'm trying the best I can do. If you can get this kind of a message, deep and reinforced in your spirit, I'm telling you, you are going to nations this year. What is the will of God in heaven? It's you who must make the will to be done here on earth. You must begin to do the will. Because in heaven it's established, it's reinforced, it's set, it's done. But on earth here, it's you. You must play a part so that it is done in your life. How do you do it? You believe. You confess. You believe. You confess. You do it like you're crazy. You believe. You confess. And I told you before here, you can never attain anything that you don't believe. You can have the potential, but as long as you don't believe, that thing will be far from you. People see the potential, but it will be far from the manifestation until you begin to believe. And I tell you, people who are tired of a certain life, what you need is to begin to change how you believe, how you confess. Make sure that every area of your life is covered, it is saved. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here?
Yes, sir.
Make sure that every area of your life is covered, it's saved. Don't leave any stone unturned. Salvation, let it cover every area of your life. Your body must be saved. Your mind must be saved. Your mentality must be saved. Your spirit must be saved. Every detail of you must be saved. Thank you, Jesus. The power of the word. The power of the word. The power of the word. The Bible says, whenever I release a rain upon the earth, it waters the earth. And it causes the earth to bring forth to bud. So is my word that I send. It will not return unto me void, empty. But what you need is to believe and to confess. Believe the word, confess the word. Believe the word, confess the word. Believe the word, confess the word. It doesn't matter what people are saying.
Yes.
Believe the word, confess it. Believe it, confess it. You are what God says you are. And what God says you are is what the word of God says about you. Don't allow your situation to become your definition. And I'm talking to people here. You are defined according to what God says you are. You are better than what you think about yourself. Your limit can always. Thank you, Jesus. Be your limit. It's not the limit of the word of God upon your life.
Yes.
You need to begin to believe the word. I need a people this season who are serious about telling about their lives. And they begin to believe. They must begin to believe. You must begin to believe that your finances are no longer down, but they are being lifted up. You must begin to believe that your business is not a business of mediocrity. It's a higher end kind of a business that you're doing. You must begin to believe it. You must begin to believe it. That every detail of your plans must come to manifestation. That you're rich and you're not poor. That you're healed and you're not sick. You must begin to believe it. And confess it. Thank you, Jesus. They stand up in the presence of God. As they're leaving this place, change your mind.
From me, Martin Siziba, I believe that this segment has been a blessing to you. You are free to share this message and spread the kingdom of God. This episode has been brought to you courtesy of Royal Kingdom Embassy. We are located in 3 centers in Paris, Free State, South Africa, as well as in 2 centers in Cape Town, Somerset West, as well as Guguletu. Join us every Sunday for worship. For inquiries, please call +277 2866 330. Alternatively, you can email prophet.martins1@gmail.com. Be empowered to experience kingdom life.